All right, then we'll say good evening, good evening. Let us begin. We're picking up on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph 31a. Let's actually pick up four lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav Hamnuna. I think that's where Rabbi Spiro told me that you left off. That you left off last night. Amar Rav Hamnuna. So we'll say, actually, I think Chaim told me to get a little bit further than this, but let's start here. Four lines up from the bottom, 31a. This is a really, really beautiful Gemara. Somer of Hamnuna, kama hilchasa guvrasa ika lemashma mehani kra dechana. So we'll say. So remember again, you know, we have the Gemara already alluded to this, that we have a number of different scriptural allusions to powerful prayer. In other words, everything goes back, of course, in the beginning of the fourth parak, we saw that on one hand, like the source for prayer is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right? Avram davened in the morning, Shachris. Not that Avram literally davened Shachris, no one's suggesting that, but he davened a morning prayer. Yitzchak davened in the afternoon, Yaakov davened in the evening. So the conceptual framework of the concept of tefillah certainly comes from the Abba, certainly comes from the patriarchs. But what we're going to see now is that there are a number of just powerful examples of tefillah. You know what? Actually, I'm going to turn it on. Okay, Steve, just Steve.
There's like 60 in there?
We're accepting donations, you know, for the heat fund. So starting measures. All right. So whereas the Iker of Tzila ultimately goes ahead and comes from the Avos, but we find a couple of very dramatic examples of powerful prayer, powerful Tzila. I look forward to Thursday night every week. I never know what's going to be. Okay, so I'll say, so now the Gemara is giving an example over here of Chana. That Chana, the mother of Shmuel, beginning of Shmuel Aleph, is one of those individuals who engaged in just a profound, profound tefillah. So the Gemara says, Rav Hamnuna says, that there are many halachos that are learned out from the tefillah of Chana. Now, again, just to point out what the Gemara is saying over here, there are many, many details of tefillah that are learned out from how Chana davened. So watch this, it's incredible. See what the Gemara says, the Chana medaveres hi aliba. Chana was speaking to herself. So remember, just to give you the context, this is the story, Book of Samuel, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph. Chana was barren for many years. Every year the family, husband's name was Elkanah. She had a co-wife named Penina. So every year, they would go out and they would come up to the Mishkan. Every year they would come to the Mishkan. And Penina had children, Elkanah had children. And obviously it was like a festive time, a family gathering. And Chana was always by herself. So the Navi records a story that one Yontiv, she couldn't take anymore. She couldn't take anymore. She didn't eat anything. She left the group and she goes into the Mishkan and pours out her heart. So that's this story. So for the context is Eli, the high priest, walks in. And he sees what's happening over here. So what does he see? Ve'chana hi medabera saliba. So Chana is literally talking. Now, medabera saliba means talking on her heart, which of course on a deeper level means she's talking to herself. So Chana was davening, but was not making sound. Moving her lips, not making sound. Mikan, what do you see from here? The mispalo shetzarchi yichaven libo. So from here you see that when you daven, you have to have kavana. So it says something. The Gemara says, medaberes aliba means she was concentrating. She had kavana. So the Gemara says, from here you see you have to have kavana. And it always struck me as being fascinating that like the Gemara needs to learn out that you need to have kavana when you daven. In other words, I don't know, I would have thought like, isn't it just intuitive? So what do you see from here? You might have thought, no. In other words, in general, we paskin, mitzvos einon tzrichos kavana. You don't need specific intent when you, it's nice, you should have always have kavana, but you don't need specific intent when you do a mitzvah. If you just end up doing the behavioral act, even if you have no kavana, you're yotze. I might have thought tefillah is a mitzvah like every other mitzvah, therefore just do the act and you're good to go. To which the Gemara says, you see from here, v'chana medaberes aliba, Chana was talking on her heart, that tefillah is an experience that involves the heart, it requires kavana. That's halacha number one. Number two, raksvasa naos, only her lips were moving. Mikan mispanel she yachtov bisvasov. From here you see it's interesting that when you daven, it is not enough to scan, but rather you have to articulate the words with your lips. So this is a big one, right? Because especially a lot of times, just, you know, sometimes we think like this is just like an only issue for people who aren't proficient in Hebrew. Even sometimes for people who are proficient in Hebrew, but simply can't keep up with the pace of davening. So sometimes you're like, you know what, I can't keep up, so let me just scan. So you see from here, you can't scan.
can't scan, you really have to be able to actually articulate the words. V'kola lo yishama, her voice was not heard. Mikan she'asra lagbia kolo b'tfilaso. From here you see that you can't daven too out loud. Interesting, right? Then, in other words, all these different halachas, I will say, all of these are codified halachas, it's actually very important. On one hand, there is a concept of davening in a louder voice, because sometimes davening out loud helps you with your kavana. The Mishnah Berurah explains you could daven out loud, but you can never daven at a decibel level that potentially goes ahead and interferes with someone else's davening. So you have to just be cognizant of whatever the right decibel level is. The Gemara says, Vayachsheva Elili Shikora. This is incredible. Now, I have to point something out amazing to you, which is the way Chana davened, no one ever davened this way before. So I guess when people normally davened, I guess they davened with a little bit of like, I don't know, a tone or something. So Eli had never seen someone. Let me take a step back. The Pasuk says Eli walks into the Mishkan, he sees this woman and he thinks that she's drunk. He never saw it. Right? So his experience is that he had not seen someone davening like this. And this obviously was not the normal way to pray. You see from his reaction that he didn't think she was davening. He thought she was drunk. Whatever it is, it's the whole package. And by the way, it could be a number of different things. It could have been that obviously Chana was emotionally intense. So sometimes when you see someone having like an extreme emotional reaction to something, so sometimes, you know, you wonder, like, oh, what's going on over here? So you kind of put this all together, and Eli assumed that she was drunk. So the Gemara says, Mikan, Shishikar Aksalez Bala. What do we learn from here? That a person who's drunk is not allowed to daven. Okay, so interesting halacha as well. Vayomer Ela Eli Admasai Tishtakman. Say Eli, Eli rebuke. Yeah. So it's the next line. So he says, "Vayomer la amasai tishakrin." How can you come in here drunk? That's what he says to her. Right? So he says to her, "Until for how long are you going to remain drunk?" In other words, see, chastises her for being drunk. So you see from here that a drunk person is not permitted. It's actually a very important halacha because at the end of the day, this is why halacha lemaisa Purim. One has to be incredibly careful, especially one has to daven ma'ariv. One is not permitted to daven in a state of inebriation. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, again, that was his taina on her. So the Gemara says, Amar Belazer, Mikan l'ra bechavero, Amud Beis, Mikan l'ra bechavero, Davar she'eno hagun, Zarach lochicho. From here you see that when you see something inappropriate in your friend, you have to rebuke them. So we'll say this is actually an incredible halacha as well, that Eli could have said, listen, I'll just mind my own business, kind of walk on. So the Gemara says, from here you see that if you see something inappropriate in your friend, you have to tell him. Now we'll say, I want to mention that like, you have to be very careful with this halacha, because some people do walk around the world telling everybody what they think about everybody. And that is a terrible, irresponsible midah. Number one, because who says that you know what you're talking about? That's number one, right? And number two, in general, there's always a way to deliver this type of information that requires an incredible amount of delicacy and an incredible amount of sensitivity. So, but the Gemara is teaching me a principle. That a principle will say, you see, if you never tell anybody what they're doing wrong, so at the end of the day, that means you don't care. Right? If I care about you and you care about me, if I see you doing something wrong, you're going to say something to me. You see me doing something wrong, we're going to say something to each other. Steve, you could leave it on. I was going to leave it on. I'm sorry?
It doesn't work.
Oh, so it was just psychological? It was just psychological?
It could be. It
does
have a placebo
effect. Yeah? Oh, I thought, okay. Is that new that it doesn't work?
For about a month and a half. Just confirm with John 20 minutes ago.
Are you trying to make it warmer or cooler?
I was trying to make it warmer a little bit.
It's not making it warmer.
Okay. Steve, you can shut it off. All right. It's good. All right, so we'll say, Sigma goes weiter. Vatan Chana v'tomer lo adoni. So Chana responds, and she says, no, my master, I am not drunk. So she responds. So the Gemara says, Amru u lavi tim rav yosi rav yichanina, Amri lei lo adon ata b'davar zeh, v'lo ruach ha-kodesh, shora alecha. So we'll say, so Rabbi Yosi rav yichanina says that Chana actually gave Eli a significant amount of mussar. That she said to him, and the wording over here is really incredible. She says to him, "Lo adon ata, you're not a master in this. You are not a master in this matter." And clearly, you don't have prophecy. Why? because you are choshed me that I am drunk, and I'm not really drunk. I'm not really drunk. So it's incredible. You know, Eli chastises her for coming into the Mishkan davening drunk, davening inebriated, and she kind of gives it right back to him, saying, you clearly don't have prophecy. Because if you had prophecy, you'd be able to see that I'm not drunk at all. In fact, just the opposite. Igid Amri, others say, Haki Amrle, this is what she said to him, not as a statement. Both in the first version, she made it like a statement. You're not a master. You don't have Ruach HaKodesh. In this other version, Igid Amri, Haki Amrle, this is what she said to him, Lo Adon Ata, Lav Ika Shechina V'Ruach HaKodesh Gabecha, Shedantani Lekaf Chova V'Lo Dantani Lekaf Zuchus. Me, so again, in this version, she asks it as a question. Don't you possess prophecy? Don't you possess the spirit of prophecy that you could see, right? Don't you possess the spirit of prophecy that shouldn't you have the ability to judge me favorably? Mi lo yadata di isha kshasurach anochi, v'yayin v'shechar lo shasisi. Don't you know that I am a woman? I am a woman of bitter spirit, and I have not drunk any wine or inebriating or intoxicating beverage. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Mikan, Lenechshad Bedavar, Shein Bo, Tzarech Laudio. We'll say, this is actually very interesting as well. From here, you see something very interesting. You see, beforehand we said that Eli calls her out for being a drunk. And the logic in that is that when you see someone doing something wrong, you should say something to them. Then the Gemara records that Chana responds back in a pretty sharp way as well. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? You see from here that when you are suspected of something that you did not do, it is important to clear your name. So you know what I'm saying? It's interesting, this idea that sometimes, you know, we adopt an approach of, you know, I don't care what anyone thinks. As long as I know I'm doing the right thing, that's enough. And there is a power and there is a place for that. But there is also a concept of v'yisem nikiyim, that my actions should be above reproach. That the way I live and what I do should kind of stand on its own and not require any kind of explanation. So to kind of extend this a little bit, you know, the Gemara says that if you're suspected of doing something, Rabbi Huda, you're in the right place. We just moved Amid Yomi in here because they were davening Ma'ariv in there. So the Gemara says from here, you see that if you are accused of something, and you didn't do it, clear your name. So in other words, Chana could have said nothing, right? Chana could have, whatever, he thinks I'm a drunk, he's wrong, he doesn't know. She could have just gone on with her life, with her davening, and that's it. But interestingly enough, she stops and she corrects Eli. So what does that show you? Again, if someone suspects you of doing something wrong and you didn't do it, it is important to try to clear your name. Incredible. Let's go back there. So the Gemara says, Al titein es amosecha lefnei bas Belial. So Chana says to Eli, do not go ahead and literally judge me. La bas Belial. Belial is a contraction for Belial, without a yoke. Don't think of me as someone who doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Belaz, Rabbi Elazar says, Mikan, Mikan, L'shikar shemispalo kilo ovid avodazara. So we'll say from here, you see that someone who is drunk who davens is as if you worship idolatry. Pretty strong. Siv Hasam says over here, Yatsu anashem b'nei Belial mikir b'cha ma lahalon avodazara afkan avodazara. Okay, so we'll say I'll just mention something interesting because we're learning this now. Why is it that Eli made a mistake in how he judged Chana? Right. In other words, what happened over here? Eli was the Kohen Gadol. And Eli did have the spirit of prophecy. So what's the pshat? How was it that Eli made such a dramatic mistake in how we looked at and how we understood Chana? What's the pshat? So the Mefarshim point out something very interesting. Eli had the Choshen, right? The Choshen was the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. And in that were 12 stones. On the 12 stones were in the names of the tribes. The Choshen had a fold. There was a fabric fold behind it. And in it was written the 72-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That piece of parchment with the name of God almost acted as the spiritual battery for the Choshen. So you put that in, and it activated the Choshen. Now, what that allowed to do is the following. The Kohen Gadol would be able to ask a question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you can imagine, the Ribbono Shel Olam would answer through the Choshen. Different letters would light up, and ultimately, again, the Kohen Gadol would have his answer. The difference is that the letters didn't always come out in the right order. You needed Ruach HaKodesh, you need prophecies. So some type of spirit of prophecy to be able to like put everything in the right order. So what happened? when Chana was in the Mishkan, Eli realized something was just out of place over here. Something just didn't stim. It didn't stim. So he asks, what's going on over here? And I will say, what letters came up? Shin, Chaf, Resh, He. Shin, Chaf, Resh, He. So ultimately, Eli says, Shikora. What he didn't realize is that those are also the same letters as Kshera. But there was something off with Eli. There was something off. There was some type of disconnect. Something had happened over here that caused him not to go ahead and look at the letters in the right order and in the right way. Yeah.
She said, aren't you a Navi? But a Navi can't just see everything that's happening.
But the Kohen Gadol knows how to interpret that's Kohen Gadol's job. His job is to interpret the Urim V'Tumim. Now, what?
Anytime he sees a person.
No, but that's the point. He consulted with the Urim V'Tumim. That's the whole point. He got an answer, but he didn't interpret the answer correctly. So again, why Eli, so to speak, wasn't connected with the Urim V'Tumim, what was going on, is a different discussion. But also like a really profound insight into sometimes, you know, we see something and we automatically assume that if we see it, then what I see, I size it up and I know the facts, you know, from the beginning. And it's important to understand that often in life it doesn't work that way. You could see something, and just because you come to an initial understanding does not mean that that's the factual reality of what it is that is actually occurring. Incredible. Let's go a little bit weiter.
Why did the Rambam not just give a clear-cut answer? Why, once there's a nace taking place, which there is, why does that have to be this mystery, you know, letters popping up and you have to guess like a puzzle?
So, first of all, I would remove the word guess. It wasn't guessing. It required a certain degree of Ruach HaKodesh, and I think the point over here is the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't spoon feed anything. And even prophecy requires tishtadlus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you the information. But you have to figure out how to arrange things in the right way. And again, even that's not done by itself. Even that ultimately is done with incredible siyata d'shmaya. So also, let's go a little bit weiter. We'll stop for tonight. He says, Vayan Eli Vayomer Lechi L'Shalom. So Eli says to Chana, okay, go in peace. Go in peace. So the Gemara says, Amar Belazar Mikan L'choshir Es Chavero B'davar She'en Bo She'tzarach L'Faiso. From here you see that when you suspect someone of doing something that they did not do, and then it turns out that you were wrong, you have to appease the individual. So we'll say, this is actually a very important halacha. You know, sometimes we judge someone unfavorably, we make a wrong call, then we realize we're wrong. But what happens, I think, 9 out of 10 times is most of us don't own it when we're wrong. We kind of just move on. The Gemara says, no, that's not the way it works. If you ultimately judge someone wrongly and you accuse them wrongly, then you have an obligation to make good by them. You have an obligation, literally the faiso means to appease them. You have an obligation to apologize, an obligation to make things right. So Eli realizes that he was wrong about Chana, and therefore he says, L'chi l'shalom, you should go in peace, which was a bracha. So the Gemara says, V'lo od ele shetzarech levarcho. You also have to give a bracha, sh'ne'emar, ve'elokei Yisrael yitein es shalascha. And Eli gives Chana a tremendous bracha. Eli says to Chana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should fulfill your request. So we'll say, so again, we'll do is we'll stop over here for tonight, Emir Tzashem. All right, you know, we'll do one more line, then we'll stop. Vatidran is such a good Gemara. Vatidran Ed Ratomer, Hashem Tzavakos. All right, I'm going to say we'll stop over for tonight. And I know it's not a sharp piece of what I'll say, but I just want to tell you just how amazing it is that, again, we're going to see that, like, so many halachos, so many dramatic pieces all come from this tefillah of Chana. Now, just to point out, what was Chana's objective? Chana's objective was not to go ahead and create the framework for tefillah. It wasn't to go ahead and create... Chana was just doing her thing. I'll say, well, we don't realize that so often in life, we never know the things that we do that forge a pathway for future generations. Sometimes I'm just minding my own business, doing my own thing. And little do I realize that what I'm doing ultimately sets the groundwork for dramatic things that are about to occur. All right, Debo say, Shkoyach, stop over here for tonight. Tremendous. Sorry about the room change. Shkoyach, everyone. Chassidus Shem Yeretz Hashem, beginning in just a moment. So the